broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
For some time, I've had a growing conviction that Congress is not operating as it should. There is much too much partisanship.
Palin firing back if it's on Facebook, calling it a kick in the gut.
All I said was this, and I'm responding to what constituents write me about. And
they're taking a lot of heat for emphasizing a particular phrase, which
originated,
you're a fascist. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, man. This is the News Talk and Entertainment Show, the Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass presentation of talk radio. And coming up, Keith Olbermann says all white people are racist, but Dr. Ron Tarner will join us first. You know that Olbermann believes that. Except for himself, of course. And although Keith does every now and again presume to dictate to black people like Michael Steele what it means to be self-hating. I mean, if ever there was a walking, literally a walking satire of himself, what is it called? It's a self-caricature. It's Keith Olbermann. He doesn't even get it, man. And he also doesn't get the fact that when he is on the NFL coverage on NBC, or when he is on the, please God, don't put him on the Olympics. I mean, that it irritates people. Don't tell the bosses at NBC, Keith, that you want to do football coverage, or maybe, I don't know if you have, you want to do Olympic coverage. People hate your guts on that. You understand they hate your guts when they see you on the NFL coverage? They hate you. They hate you. Even people that dig you politically hate seeing you doing football. I don't dig you politically, and when I see you doing the NFL, I want to hurt a little animal. I want to kill it or even abuse it in a way that probably, well, I better not say. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry show. I want to get into this story here, and then we will have on Dr. Ron Tarner to talk with us a little bit more about this climate change story. Just is so bloody bizarre. It's enough to make you want to cry. Honest to God. All the money, all of the time, all of the propagandizing, all of the bitching, pissing, and moaning, all of the threats. That's all it's been. That's all that the climate change argument has been. Threats. If you don't do this, the planet, if you don't do this, you'll go to jail. If you don't do this, you're an asshole. If you don't do this, you know, you got to do this, 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 this. Otherwise, so we've been threatened and we've been scared. And we find out now that the climate change U-turn continues as the scientist at the center of the row, and that would be Dr. Phil Jones. This is from the Daily Mail, a British newspaper. There's been no global warming since 1995, according to him. The academic at the center of the ClimateGate affair, whose raw data is crucial to the theory of climate change, has admitted that he has trouble keeping track of the information. Colleagues say that the reason Professor Phil Jones has refused freedom of information requests is that he may have actually lost the relevant papers. Professor Jones told the BBC yesterday there was truth in the observation of colleagues that he lacked organizational skills, that his office was swamped with piles of paper, and that his record keeping is not as good as it should be. The data is crucial to the famous hockey stick graph used by climate change advocates to support the theory. Professor Jones also conceded the possibility that the world was warmer in medieval times than now, suggesting global warming may not be a man-made phenomenon. Now, I also would like to draw your attention very briefly to the following fact, and that is, where is that number that I had the fact that the Little Ice Age, as it was known, folks, and This is a meteorologic fact, as close to a fact as we can determine. It is agreed upon by the world scientists, meteorologists, climatologists, and so forth. There is no scientist of repute that would deny that the world went through what they call a little ice age between the years 1300 and 1850. Now, that meant that before 1300, we were sailing along at a certain temperature. And I believe that the mean temperature before the year 1300 was similar to what it is now. And then things got real cold real fast. And if you look at the chart, you'll see it go, ooh, man, it just is like a real dip and then goes back up again. Now, medieval times predate the Little Ice Age. When we talk about the medieval times, we're talking about just prior to the turn of the second millennium. The turn of the second millennium following the birth of Christ. That would be 1000 AD. And medieval times sort of predating that and sort of straddling that a little bit. And then we have this Little Ice Age, and then we have the middle of the 19th century on forward, and things began to warm up again. Now, given the fact that we never kept real meteorologic records like we do today prior to 150 years ago, and what I mean by that is every day the temperature. What's the temperature today? Every day. The LA Times didn't start giving the daily temperature until 1880, something like that. We have precious little information, and we have people telling us that the world is warming at an unprecedented clip based upon hundreds of thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and these people are so convinced that even to question it, even to ask for an open forum where it might be debated, is to be a denier. And you know what denier means? It's the same as Holocaust denier. That's why they use that term. It's a politically charged, it's offensive, and it has no relationship to anything. But they use it so that it almost as if you deny climate change, you hate Jews and you're a Nazi. So figure that one out. All right, 877-876. So all of that is the backdrop to bringing on my very good friend here. And we've had him on. We had him on last week, and we're going to have him on again to talk about climate change and, quite frankly, to see what can be done here from his standpoint. Anyway, about the data that Dr. Philip Jones has amassed, we have on Dr. Ron Tarner here from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Dr. Tarner, a very pleasant good morning to you, sir.
A pleasant good morning to you. You're wrong when you say that we use the term climate denier to infer that people who do not understand climate change, do not understand that this is a real threat to our planet, hate Jews, as you put it. I think that's the offensive comment, Bill. And I know you much better. I know that you're a much better man than that.
Well, then why would you say denier? You know what that word means.
I know it means denier.
Come on. Don't treat me like I'm stupid. Holocaust denier, we all know what that is. And to say climate change denier is to draw the connection. Anybody that doesn't believe in the climate change is of the same mentality as those who deny the Holocaust. And quite frankly, those who deny that the Holocaust happened are anti-Semites. There's no middle ground. Anyone that denies the Holocaust happened is a Jew hater. You know it as well as I do.
Okay, and so you're saying if you deny that climate change exists, I'm calling you a Jew hater.
You're calling me prejudiced somehow. You're saying that I am willfully ignorant, or I'm denying something willfully based upon a prejudice.
Yes, that is true. It doesn't have anything to do with someone's race. I think you hate scientists. I don't know why.
I hate scientists. Is that it?
I don't know why that you, and knowing me, and knowing other scientists, and it's unfortunate that Dr. Jones is caught up in the middle of this, but I think there is a problem you have with scientists. And I told you the problems that I have with scientists, too. I don't like Steve Hawking any more than anyone else does.
I think Stephen Hawking's admired by people, isn't he?
Well, if Stephen Hawking's admired by people, I can assure you they're not scientists. I can assure you, Stephen Hawking has authored some of the most virulently racist and anti-Semitic jokes that I've ever read.
All right, can we get off this? Because this is a whole thing that you have with him, and I really don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about climate change.
All right, let's talk about climate change.
Okay. You heard what I said, that Professor Jones, Phil Jones, who is the director there at the University of East Anglia's Climatic Research Unit, he stepped down. He's been in the spotlight since then after the leaking of emails that skeptics claim show scientists were manipulating data. Your comment, especially since he said that there's been no global warming since 1995.
I think like any scientist who is overworked, like any scientist who needs to reorganize his work, I think, quite frankly, Phil, he needs a vacation from the media. I think that Dr. Jones is so inundated with requests from the media. I think he has been so slammed and so slandered and so insulted by the media that his mind is not on his work. I think an awful lot of very damaging things have been said by him in confusion, and I don't blame Dr. Jones for being utterly befuddled at the hostility that has met him.
So are you telling me that he didn't mean to say that there's been no global warming since 1995?
I don't know what he's been meaning to say. I don't know what is in his mind. I know he has been inundated with and confronted with a very hostile media and a very hostile public reaction. And I think the sooner Dr. Jones is off the front pages and is allowed to pursue his work, to organize his work, and to represent using the so-called hockey stick graph away from the media so that he is not forced into these interviews that don't do him any good and don't do anyone else any good. And to that end, we're doing all that we can to find him a place where he can have an academic sabbatical.
So you're saying that Dr. Jones is going to withdraw or retire from the spotlight?
Yes. From the so-called spotlight, I don't think he's going to. He's not retiring. What we need for him to do is to... We need for him to get off the front page. We need for him to go and do his work and not be talking to the media. He's hurt the climate change movement by making these statements. And I said to a couple of colleagues the other day, I said that Phil Jones is hurting us, obviously. So we're saying give him a place to go where he can do his work. I have to say it, he needs to shut up. He's hurting us every time he opens his mouth. And I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you something needs to be done, even if it's against his will. And Phil, I'm the last guy...
Now, do you understand what you're saying, don't you?
I'm the last guy not to say that a man's entitled to his opinion.
No, you just said against his will.
Well, he has to stop making these statements to the press. We have got to get control of this man, get him away from newspaper reporters, get him somewhere where he is as far away from the media as can be, where we can put him to work on organizing his papers, where he can start to make amends for some of the damage he's done. And if he doesn't want to do that, then I am of a opinion, as are other colleagues of mine, that it doesn't matter what he wants. He's going to do it anyway.
And are you telling me that you're going to kidnap this man? And
no, of course I'm not saying that.
Well, then how are you going to get Phil Jones, the climate gate doctor, away from the media?
Every time he opens his mouth, he damages the climate change movement. Now, if he understands that, great. If he doesn't, and he can't keep his mouth shut, then we have to do something to shut it, don't we?
You know something, Dr. Tarner, that sounds very ominous.
Oh, don't be dramatic.
No, that's dramatic. You got to do something to shut his mouth?
I'm not saying something to harm the man. I'm just telling him he's got to go away. He's got to go and get away from the media. Now, either he goes voluntarily or we tell him you're going anyway. And I'm not saying we hurt him. But there comes a time where you say to a man, are you going to do what's right for the climate change movement? And he says no. And then you say, get in that car and shut up.
That's called kidnapping.
No, it is not, Phil.
That's exactly what that is. That's called kidnapping. So you'd kidnap a doctor, you'd kidnap Dr. Jones, and you'd move him out to some country home where he can't talk to the media and do even more damage to the climate change movement. Okay.
No, that is absolutely wrong, and that is a slander.
That's exactly what you said. You said, get in that car and shut up. Dr. Jones, whose papers have been the foundation of climate change research and which now apparently is so disorganized and so compromised that the entire climate change argument is at risk, you now want to put this man in hiding and away from the media so he can't make any more damaging statements, even if he doesn't want to go.
You know, boy, it's really low what you're doing.
You said that you'd put the guy in a car whether he wanted to go or not.
I said that there comes a time when you either shut your mouth or we've got to tell you to shut it. That's the point I'm making.
All right. Dr. Ron Tarner is making excuses for the global warming controversy. How should the scientists deal with Dr. Phil Jones? Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner on global climate change, the most recent admission by Phil Jones, the climatologist, the director of the Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia in Great Britain. We're learning a lot. I never knew that that was the ground zero of climate change research. Dr. Jones has now said there's been no global warming since 1995. And quite possibly, it was warmer during the Middle Ages than it is right now. And all of this information that the public needs, Ron, Dr. Ron Tarner with us, and yet you still say that there's no information problem, it's a scientist problem.
It's a scientist problem because, I'll tell you, Phil Jones, who's a highly respected doctor, is giving interviews that he should give. He's making statements that he should make. He is confusing facts and figures, and he's hurting the rest of the climate change movement. And we need for him to take a vacation. Now, I say it like that, Phil. You seem to think there's something threatening about that.
Well, when you say take a vacation, yeah, it sounds threatening.
He knows, Dr. Jones knows, if he's listening right now, what is he needs to do. And either he takes a vacation or just keeps his mouth shut, or he does what I would consider to be the honorable thing.
You're kidding.
I just said the honorable thing.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Here's Ken in San Diego. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Dr. Tarner, I just want you to know that Galileo, if they had put him in the tower and shut him up and the church went after him, we'd still be believing that the earth was flat. You got to let everyone speak their piece.
The world. I don't want you to believe the world is flat. We need the information to come out logically. It's in a proper sequence. We don't need Phil Jones running out there like a woman out of a house on fire and shrieking up and down the streets.
We're not a house on fire, doctor. Doctor,
his comments have damaged the world.
Doctor,
what?
Doctor, I want you to know that I respect you. I respect all of
you. No, you don't.
But
no,
yes,
you
I
don't.
Do. Yes, I do.
And you respect the way Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry is a man who hates science.
When you shut out one of your constituents, we're in trouble. That's how I see it. You're shutting out
LA. You're misunderstanding me. I don't want to shut him up so much as calm him down and get him away.
Calm him down.
Shut his mouth for a while.
What do you mean,
like,
calm him down?
Put him in a tower of pizza.
He's hysterical.
Are you saying that his statement? Are you saying that his statement, "There's no global warming since 1995," is wrong?
All I'm saying is, if you take one of your guys that are in your constituents, you're the doctor, and say this guy is wrong totally. We need to shut him up. We need to put him in a tower and bury him forever.
I didn't say anything about putting him in a tower. I said that we need for him to go away for a while.
Go away for a while, huh? Go away.
Oh, okay. All right. In other words, you guys watch way too many gangster movies. I mean, you know, not talk.
Well, what is it?
I'm 55, and I know that these things are not just one guy. It takes all of you, you and him, everybody, to just get together and figure this thing out before
we're
dead.
I'm not trying to shut him out. I'm trying to just keep him from the public so he doesn't embarrass himself.
That's not like Galileo.
You know, you're on this Galileo thing. What, did you just read a book about him or something? What is it with you? I'm not talking about Galileo.
He's using an example of a scientist. Yeah, he's using an example of a scientist.
Galileo was shut up by the church. That's got nothing to do. These are fellow scientists saying to Phil, you're making an ass out of yourself. You got to calm down. Get away. Lay in the sun for a while.
All right. I got to take a break here, Ken. I appreciate your call here. Yeah?
Thank you.
He respects me, yeah? You respect me.
I do.
Thank you.
877.
I love you, too.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Dr. Ron Turner on the Phil Hendry Show in a moment.
Get away, lay in the sun, you know, lift some weight.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL here. Dr. Ron Turner joining us on this final hour of our program here. We're already into a Wednesday, which means I got to take the garbage out, Doc.
All right. I'm glad you remind me. I think I do, too.
All right. But we're talking here about the climate change controversy seems to get a little bit more complex as the days go by. Now we have Dr. Phil Jones from East Anglia, the man who ran the CRU, saying that there's been no global warming since 1995, that it might have been warmer in the Middle Ages. He sounds confused. He sounds befuddled. And you say this guy needs a vacation.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that, you've tried to make it seem as if I want to somehow kidnap him.
Well, that's what it sounded like to me.
I will tell you that he needs to keep quiet. Because every time he opens his mouth to say something, one more layer of skin is peeled off of the world climate change movement. One more knife thrust. One more quart of blood. I don't think he's doing us any favors, so.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. On the program, we have Danny. Danny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Turner. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning to you. I was born in 1945 in Florida. The weather.
Right. How old are you? How old are you? How old are you?
64.
Uh huh.
And the weather down there is cooler now than it's ever been. Every summer it gets cooler. I moved to Memphis, Tennessee. The day Elvis Presley died, and the same thing is happening up there. The summers are cooler, and our winters are absolutely cooler by about 10 to 12 degrees.
Well, when Elvis Presley died, that was unusual. That hasn't happened since.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
What's that got to do with it?
Well, the weather's going to be different on a day like that.
Yeah, well, I still think my brother graduated high school at 13 years old, and he had a lot of brains, but he had no common sense. And these dumb ding-a-ling doctors you got out there now, such as this clown you got on the radio, we got no global warming as...
Wait a minute. What do you mean clown? Sir, I am a doctor of cosmology. I hear wind blowing behind you right now.
Yeah,
now that's proof that we've got climate change.
Why is that climate change? Because
I could hear wind blowing behind you. Is that wind?
Yeah, I'm in a truck driving, and the wind. All these doctors and scientists, and that's my whole point of view, and that's it. See ya.
Well, Danny, is he hanging up? You know, these truck drivers really these truck drivers burn me up, you know?
Why?
Because they come on and throw their little hand grenades and then leave. Now, I was going to tell Daddy that I hope he enjoys his truck driving while it lasts, because if global warming continues at the rate I anticipate that it will, he'll be sailing along in his truck one afternoon, and that riverbed that he thought was filled with water will be dry, and there will be a drop of about 15 feet that his truck will encounter. And you know what that means, don't you?
Usually they have bridges over rivers.
I know that, but in case they didn't. Oh, really? What about Minnesota last year?
What about Minnesota? That was 2 years ago. That wasn't last year. That was 2 years. You mean the bridge?
Right. How do you think he'd feel then?
That had nothing to do with global warming. That was an infrastructure problem. That was an old bridge. Here is Marco on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good.
Hello, sir. Yeah.
As an outsider looking in, listening to this conversation, I can't believe that this gentleman here is a respected scientist, and he wants another respected scientist to keep his mouth shut because it's not convenient for him. To me, that is completely asinine, and there must be something else going on here. Maybe the more this guy talks, the more you guys lose money or something. I don't know. I'm not dropping
a hand
grenade. I'm just trying to get
to the
point. Thank you.
What is the gentleman talking about?
I think the gentleman is talking about exactly what I brought up, the fact that you want to keep a scientist, a fellow scientist, quiet.
But you guys are making it something nefarious.
You said that this guy's mouth has to be kept shut.
Boy, you really are asking for it, aren't you?
What do you mean, am I asking for it? You said that this Dr. Phil Jones, this is a doctor who is the director of the Climate Research Unit at East Anglia University, is talking too much.
Let me tell you a story, okay? I hope this clarifies it.
Isn't that what you said?
Let me tell you a story, Phil. I hope this helps you, okay? Okay, Phil?
Okay.
You know the name Dr. Rod Templeton? Not Rod Tarter, Rod Templeton. Ronald Templeton. You know the name?
Yeah, he did the... you were telling me he did research on tornadoes.
That's exactly right. He did a paper that was very ill-timed. He came out with a paper on a spate of tornadoes, comparing them to another series of tornadoes that hit in what is known as Hurricane Alley, or excuse me, Tornado Alley, in the 19th century. And his conclusion was that there was nothing unusual about this tornado occurrence, that it had happened at least on four other occasions over the last 200 years.
Okay.
Well, you say okay, but when he came out with that paper, that was a paper that we had asked him to hold off on because it did not correspond with the other materials that we were releasing on global climate change. In other words, that paper was going to detract from the global climate change argument. Now, you could say that he had every right to publish it, really? When you've got men, scientists, who have been working for years, at the expense of wives, lovers, children, lovers male and female, I don't mind telling you, okay?
Great, fine.
I'm just giving you the background.
All right, get to it. So this guy came out with a paper that didn't go along with the global climate change.
You know, there's a lot more to it, Phil.
All right, there's a lot more to it, so what's the point?
The point is this. I was looking out the window of my office one afternoon, and I saw two distinguished doctors, Dr. James Helleman and Dr. Walter Davey, and the two of them had Ronald Templeton by the arms. They were duct taping his hands and his mouth and shoving him into the trunk of a car. These were not thugs. These were not criminals. These were not men who were wanted by the FBI. These were distinguished scientists forced into doing something that would have been an anathema to them a few years before. But they had to shut him up.
Are you telling me you witnessed a kidnapping?
I don't know what it was. I do know that the man had to be shut up.
You saw this man having this scientist having his hands duct taped and his mouth shut by two other climate change scientists to shut him up.
Oh, okay. So what is this dramatic? What do you think? I've got information. I don't know what they did with him.
Yeah, well, you know what? As soon as I'm off the phone, I'm calling the FBI.
Oh,
give it or...
No, I am. I'm calling the FBI, and I'm telling them you have information about this man having been kidnapped.
God.
Yeah, that's right. A doctor, a scientist with information about tornadoes that detracts from the universal feeling that global climate change is undeniable and it's on its way and everyone knows. Oh, yeah. That's right. You saw him kidnapped.
What if I told you I was kidding?
Are you kidding or are you serious?
I'm kidding, but I wish I would have seen his hands being duct taped.
All right, that's all I got time for, you know?
But wait a minute, he's about the duct tape.
I don't want to hear any more about him, his duct tape, his science. All I know is the following, man. These guys with this climate change, one minute it's hell on wheels, and the next minute, oh, gee, maybe we haven't had any warming since 1995. What are these jackasses talking about? And nobody is there to help us. No one is there to say, here, folks, this is what's going on. The climate change advocates won't do it. They won't stand there calmly and say, now, here's what's going on. This is the propaganda effort that's being put up. This has been an argument. This has been a battle of the gods. This is taking place on some level way above us. And we're supposed to just either get it or not. And I'm going to tell you, you guys with your climate change, you better be right, because if you're wrong, if this turns out to be a hoax or otherwise an instance of misread data or misread science or misinterpreted science, and the money that you've cost us and the time that you have wasted and the propaganda and the bitterness and the politicizing, you won't be able to pay for thousands of lifetimes. You slobs. All right, coming up, a woman makes a chilling 911 call. Chilling, not really. It sounds really fake, and I hope she was beaten with a rubber truncheon. Everything she claimed was going on was completely false, plus the stories we couldn't get to, and Twitter with us at www.twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show over there at the Twitter site. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we have the stories we couldn't get to coming up here in just a second, but here is a story from Canada, and it's about Mitt Romney getting attacked or otherwise being accosted on an Air Canada flight. And the interesting thing about this story, I see things or I don't see things in stories that most other people don't. I don't really, I don't like to read a story and say, well, here's what happened, because 9 million other guys are reading this story, and they're all saying the same damn thing. They're going to probably say something about how Romney deserved it, or depending upon their political point of view, how Canada is a big fat hole filled with, potential Manitoba mule skinners or something with those big buck knives waiting to get on a Greyhound bus, or, filled with Paul Bernardos. I don't know. The thing I notice about this story is typical of Canada. Mr. Romney was attacked or otherwise was confronted by some douchebag. By the way, Romney and his wife were sitting in the economy section. Not that that would impress anybody. And anyway, the man sitting in front of Romney dropped his seat back. And when Mr. Romney asked him to move it upright for takeoff, the man became physically violent. Now, I go through this whole story. Romney did not retaliate. The RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, took the guy's bags off the plane. And the man, it goes into some background on Romney, but it never once gives the name of the man who confronted him. It never once gives the name of the man who was physically, allegedly violent with Mr. Romney. This is something that you would see reported in America all the time. But in Canada, they don't do that. Canada has a very, very disturbing, and I mean an extremely disturbing system of justice. I've had some personal traffic, shall we say, with the Canadian system of justice, and it is disturbing to the point of, well, I'll tell you this right now, I wouldn't live there. I would never live there, ever.
They have a system of justice that bends over backwards to protect even the most suspicious of perpetrators. Even, you know, and I'm not talking about guys that have been convicted necessarily, but what the cops call perps, suspects, even the most, you know, potentially dangerous of suspects, they bend over backwards to make sure that they're protected. In Canada, you think you, if you go to Canada and you buy a home, you have the rights that you have as a homeowner here in the United States? Not even close. You know how here in the United States, for instance, if someone comes into your house and you have no knowledge of that person or why they're in your home, and in point of fact, you are alarmed at their being there and you have a gun, you can kill them. You can kill them dead, and you're within your rights. In Canada, you can't necessarily do that, see? Because just because someone's in a in your house, now get a load of this, I'm not kidding you, just because they're in your house doesn't necessarily constitute a crime. Now, I'm not saying, you can ask the Canadian cops about this, they're just as sick about it as anybody. But that's the jive-ass way they do things in Canada. And I got to tell you something else, as long as I'm on this subject, because I've had this theory for a long time, and I'm going to share it with you. I can't think of any reason for the existence of Canada other than as a reaction against America. In other words, is it enough to say we exist because we're not you? Or is it, or do you need to say we exist because we are this? See? Do you exist because you don't like a certain person? Or do you exist because you're you? Why is Canada up there? Because they were loyal to the crown. And they weren't going to do whatever it was those Yanks were doing, and they're just going to stay all British, and that's really groovy. That's fine. But when the Dominion of Canada eventually became its own independent nation, was no longer a part of the Commonwealth, the British Empire doesn't exist anymore, Canada is an independent country, suddenly they're faced with something. They're faced with this. What are we? Who are we? Who are we, and what are we? Now, I got nothing against these. A lot of people are thinking, oh, you must be with us, Phil. We're Tea Party people. We don't like that health care either. No, I happen to like national health care. I think it's a fantastic idea. And I happen to know how it works in Canada. It works very well, regardless of all of the stupid jackasses that I have to keep listening to saying this, that, this, that. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about Canadian health care. It works just fine. But my problem with Canada isn't their Canadian health care. My problem with Canada is I don't even know why they're there. You got to have a reason for being there. You ask a Canadian, and they'll tell you, well, we sure aren't you. Oh, okay, that's fine. I mean, that's groovy. So you're not me. All right, so what are you? Well, you know, don't give me the stuff about how you're not so warmongering as America, because you know why you don't have a national defense force? We take care of that for you. Uncle Sam's protecting your ass. You don't have to put a nickel in the national defense, because it's generally going to be American guys that are going to war for Canadians. I know you guys are in Afghanistan. God bless you. You know, you're just getting enough trigger time in over there to say, hey, you're solid, you're shoulder to shoulder, but you guys don't put the money into national defense that we do, and we got your back, so you don't have to do that. You know, and so what else are you about? Timber and ducks and stuff? What, man? The Canadian Football League, 3 downs and a cloud of dust? You know, we like our country just fine. He said, I saw this guy, not that it was the best piece in the world, Willie Geist, who I happen to like on that Morning Joe. In fact, he's the only good thing about Morning Joe, in my opinion. But anyway, Willie Geist is up there. He said, well, what are Canadians? And, you know, he couldn't get an answer to anything. Most of it was, well, we give nice directions, and we say organization and stuff like that. Well, I don't want to question the existence of a country and come to some conclusion all in a 5-minute period. I would never want to do that. But I am saying that this story about Romney and the fact that I don't know who this guy is, that, and I'll bet you $500 it has something to do with their funky laws. I don't know who this guy is that went after Romney, because in Canada, well, you know, you have to, even if someone is crawling into your wife's bedroom, gets into her bed and smacks her across the face, say with a baseball bat, the crime that's been committed is assault, but coming into the house isn't necessarily a crime. That's Canada. I wouldn't live there, man. And my people are from there. My mother, my father, My older brother and older sister were born there. My father fought for Canada in World War II. He was in the Canadian Army in Italy with the British. I wouldn't go there to live if it was the if they were giving away acres and acres of land. You know what? Because it's probably really cheap, man. I don't want to freeze to death my first year up there. Well, here you are, Mr. Henry. Here's your land. Thanks a lot, man. They're going to find me like the Donner Party. Well, I don't feel, man. Try to work that land. Yeah. Where is he? I think I see some guy, you know, like that guy, like McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Just see a guy with a beard in the snow. Forget it. Well, we didn't get to the stories that we weren't going to get to. Guess what? We didn't get to them. I think that's the first time, bud.
Yeah, well, do I say the stories you're not going to get to.
I will tell you this, though. I wanted to read off top box office for the weekend. What do we got, man? Valentine's Day, numero one. Wolfman, numero two. We got Percy Jackson and the Olympian, The Lightning Thief, number three. Avatar, four. Dear John, five. Tooth Fairy, six. From Paris with Love is seven. That's the movies. Now, moving on. Who is reading what and why? Top five at a glance, hardcover fiction. Worst Case by James Patterson, Michael Ledwidge. The Help by Catherine Stockett. Flirt, Laurel K. Hamilton. Winter Garden, Kristen Hanna. And The Lost Symbol. And hardcover nonfiction, what are we reading? Game Change by John Helleman and Mark Halperin. I've got it. I'm going to read it. The Politician by Andrew Young. On the Brink by Henry Paulson. I Am Ozzy by Ozzy Osbourne. And The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Rebecca Skloot. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, for all of your comedy needs. 877-876 is our number. And you can Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. That's our staff-operated Twitter page. Go visit us over there, all right? Till tonight. Yeah, tonight or tomorrow morning. A very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Hey, buddy.
Phil Henry.